evening hour, where we'll try to draw our meditation from and do our best to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Somebody said, well, all the gospel is a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You'll have to go a little bit further than that on the gospel. The Bible said, for Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. And I find in the gospel we find the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the faith of man, so many things, more than just simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I'm not saying that's not the gospel in a nutshell, but there's more to it. The gospel, when folks say, just preach the gospel, what they're saying is just tell us a little story about Jesus dying and about him getting up out of the grave, and that'll be all that we'll need to hear. But you can't hardly talk about him dying without talking about the cross. And how are you going to preach on the cross unless you preach about the sin that nailed him there? And the fact that God has been offended and his justice must be satisfied. And that it was satisfied when the Lord Jesus, when he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. And there's a lot more to preaching the gospel than just simply telling a little story about Christ and his death upon the cross and resurrection from the grave. Well, I had asked Doug to go wash my glasses. Them's the hardest things to keep clean. Them glare-proof ones, don't ever buy them. If you go, let me give you a little clue. Don't ever buy glare-proof glasses. You can't keep them clean. And they smear and gob. Now, that's a word to the wise for all of you. You got them, Douglas? Huh? They said if they scratched in a year, bring them back and they'd replace them. And I think I'll take a wire brush to them. Try to clean them with a wire brush and get me a pair that's not glare-proof. Because they shriek and you cannot keep them clean. Pretty good, Douglas. All right, Song of Solomon chapter number 6 in your Bible tonight, please. I've stalled for about as much time as I can here. Song of Solomon in chapter number 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the singing that our hearts have enjoyed this night, for the fellowship of God's people, and for the privilege to assemble in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that again tonight that you'd help the preacher, that you'd give me the liberty, power, the unction, the oil of the Holy Ghost upon my soul that is necessary to say everything, Lord, that you've laid on my heart for this hour. And not just say it, but Lord, say it with zeal and with joy of the Holy Ghost and with conviction and with grace and with glory, that thy people may be encouraged and strengthened thereby, that our Lord Jesus might be glorified in all that's said and done. I pray for the salvation, Lord, of the lost and dying, those that stand afar off, those that are away from God, outside the covenant of God's grace. May they tonight, Lord, know what it means to be converted. And we'll thank you for doing that. Again, I pray that you'll bless me now and help me. I need the strength of God in my body, as well as the blessing and power of God in my soul. Grant it for this hour, and I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to say before I get started preaching tonight that I don't try to preach to please man.
Amen. And I don't try to preach neither to perform for man. Preaching is not a performing thing. It's a proclaiming of the Word of God to the hearts of people. And I realize that some of the preaching that I've been doing lately in the Song of Solomon has not necessarily, if you'll forgive me for using this word, been something that will, so to speak, challenge you in certain ways. But if I, through the preaching that I've been doing, can identify Christ to you, and you can comprehend who He is and what He's doing in your life, I'll feel like that I've accomplished a great and a glorious victory in this church. There is a lot of preaching that does not identify the Lord. And it doesn't really help God's people in finality at all. They know a lot of things that they ought not to do, like women wearing breeches and combing, cutting their hair, and so on and so forth. But so many folks today are void of an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. And if you never get acquainted with Him in a rich way, the trials of life, the temptations of the devil will shipwreck you in your Christianity. And you're subject to become a casualty along the way. I've never forgotten a message I preached years ago out of the book of Genesis in chapter 44. When Joseph gave instruction to his brothers when they were traveling back to get their father Jacob, and the statement that he made, he said, "See that you fall not out in the way." And I preached a message on falling out in the way. And how many folks are really doing that? They seem to make their journey for a while, but by and by they're offended and they fall out in the way. Well, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have a small crowd like we've got and see you perfected in spiritual things and see you presented faultless at the throne of God than I would to have a big crowd that knows absolutely nothing about the Word of God. And so I'm going to keep on preaching the way I have until God tells me otherwise, and then we'll try to change it. But I want us to look at verse number 3 this evening. Will be our text verse, and I'm just going to have to talk my way through it. We come to church on Sunday nights, it seems like, and it's starting to creep on Sunday morning. We've got a kind of a low spirit, and when the spirit in folks are low, then the preacher can't really get wound up like he wants to. So I'm just going to preach to you tonight in under the spirit that is in the house of God. And if that don't suit you, why, praise God, you'll have to go up to the First Baptist, and they can doctor you up there. Verse number 3, the Bible said, "I am my beloved's." Notice those words. They've been spoken before by the bride, only in a reversed manner. Here she says, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." I'll not deal with that feeding among the lilies tonight, but I want to take the first part of this verse, if I may, and preach to you for a little while on the thought of our inseparable union. Amen. I'm glad that I have a union with Christ that is inseparable. Amen. For what shall separate us, Paul said, from the love of Christ? And he goes on to name several things like famine and so forth, persecution and other things. And he said, nay, he said, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Then Paul made a very dogmatic statement, a bold statement. He said, for I am persuaded, and he named 17 things that shall not separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think the little bride here learned, without a shadow of a doubt, that she had an inseparable union with the Lord. That there was no power in heaven nor on earth that could separate the body from the head. If you separate the body from the head, there's death. And the Lord said that we have passed from death unto life. And the Bible said that there's nothing that can separate us from that love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me say by way of introduction to you that these words of the bride are spoken at one of the most difficult times in all of her life. I can understand someone with this kind of confidence when they're high flying on the mountain. But she spoke these words at one of the most difficult hours in all of her Christian life. She had just passed through a season that was void of the manifest presence of Christ. Now, I did not say void of the presence of Christ. For He said that I'll never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. But I did say that she had passed through a time when she was void of the manifest presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had not been revealing Himself to her as He had in the past Scriptures. If you'll recall in chapter 5, He had withdrawn Himself from her and had apparently went into a hiding place. And for her to make such a confident statement, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine, was actually very bold and courageous of her to make such a statement as that. She may now, listen to me, she may have been felt deserted and alone in the world, but her words are very reassuring of her relationship to the Lord. She is confident that although His presence has been absent, but yet her relationship has not been troubled whatsoever. I'm glad, thank God, that our relationship stands firm in the Lord. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can it be?" Our Armenian friends would lead us to believe that we may lose our relationship with Christ. To do that, we'd have to fall from grace and lose our salvation. But I'm glad, thank God, that we are bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord and by the new birth. I have been born again from above. God is my Father. The Lord Jesus is my elder brother. You are my brothers and sisters, and we are one in Him. Having been born again, we are inseparable to His head. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad tonight that my beloved is mine, and I'm His, and the devil and all the imps of hell cannot separate you and I from that union that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you stay with me. We may now, as God's children, experience broken fellowship. That's what she had experienced here. Her fellowship had been broken. It hadn't been what it ought to. But, thanks be to God, our relationship can never be severed. Just like my friend, I'm the son of Truman Hall, and there's not anything in this world that can ever change that. Why is that, preacher? Because I was born into His family. I took His name. I bear His personality. I bear His nature. I bear His characteristics. If you would ever see Him, you would have to agree, my friend, that without a doubt I am His son. And in like manner, being born again of the Spirit of God, we take on the divine nature of God. Amen. And we start to talk like God, live like God lives, have a holy life, depart from iniquity, depart from sin, and love the holy things of God. And there can be no mistake about it, friend. If we've been to Calvary and we're God's child, our divine nature will bear out the fact to those around us that we're His. Amen. These are These are very endearing words of a spiritual relationship that could never be broken. Although Christ has been withdrawn in presence, she yet recognizes her inseparable union with Him. I want to remind you, she hadn't found Him yet. But she is confident that there is still a union. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. There is yet a spiritual union. You hear me well. Brother, we've been walking through a deep valley and through a dark day and through the winter months. But friend, I tell you, you can mark it down. If you've been to Calvary, you're just as much God's child in the dark times as what you are in the bright times. And just as much God's child when you're in the valley as what you are on the mountaintop. Just as much God's child when you're walking through temptation and fires and trials as what you are when you're enjoying perfect peace and tranquility in your life. There is nothing that can separate us from Him, for we have an inseparable bond to Him by the power of the Holy Ghost that dwells within us.
Amen.
Stay with me now. This union is provided by the bond of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal body. And it is a bond, a binding power. Blessed be the ties that bind. And Son, the Holy Ghost tied a good knot in me when He got me. I'm glad when He got me, He got me. Men to God, and tied a good knot. He ain't about to let the knot slip. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Why, Brother Hall? Because I've been born again by the Spirit of God, sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. He may depart from me from a little while, but that cannot, will not, cannot break the relationship that we have together. Somebody said, what if we backslide and run away from Him? What if one of your children backslid and run away from you? Would they still be your child, or would they belong to somebody else? Come on in the house, youngins. I want you to listen to this scripture. Psalm 133, the whole psalm. All three verses of it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
I asked Sister Hall last night what it meant, what the word unity meant. She said that means we're all one. We're all tied together. I said, you talking about harmony? She said, yeah, we'll all agree to this and agree to that, and there'll be harmony amongst us. I want to say to you, my friend, you can have a union without having harmony. You can tie two dogs' tails together and you got a union, but you sure as the world ain't going to have much harmony out of them.
Amen.
Tie two tomcat tails together and throw them over a clothesline. You got a union, but you ain't got much harmony, friend.
Yes,
my text says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now I'm telling you, the only way you and I can dwell together in unity is if we're all born of the same Spirit, saved by the grace of God, and members, hallelujah, of the same holy, royal family of Almighty God. That's right. How good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And here's how they dwell in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. The holy oil of God upon the head. That ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. And what the brother David is saying there, that our unity is likened unto holy oil that was poured upon the head of Aaron the high priest and ran down his head, even upon his beard. Friend, that oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. And the only way that we can have unity in the house of God is if the Holy Ghost has bound us together. Oh, hallelujah, for that inseparable union that we have in Christ, tied to the head by the person of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I wish I'd have thought about it when I was preaching through, when she talked about her neck is that which passes her body to her head, and that neck is a type of the Holy Ghost that ties the body, which is us, to the head, which is Him yonder in heaven. I'm glad He's a great big Holy Ghost, amen, and a long neck that can reach the body on earth and the head in heaven all at the same time. Hallelujah. Now listen. Now you say, where do we fit in here? That's only the head. Yeah, but it went down. It went down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirt of his garment. He's covered with oil from his head to the bottom, to the skirts of his garments, to his clothing. And I believe, brother, if I know anything about the Bible, that God is saying that the Holy Ghost is that bond that ties the head together with the body to that very last individual that will be saved by the grace of God. Even the skirt or the hem of His garment. I'm glad, thank God, that we're all bound together with an inseparable union by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now don't leave me, and I'll bring a message in a minute. And he goes on to say, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, Calvary, that dew that descended, that holy oil that descended upon Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Somebody said, what blessing? He says, even life evermore. Hallelujah to God. You see how that Spirit of God ties the head and the body together with an inseparable union, my friend, and it provides life evermore and everlasting for you and I. Hallelujah. Now hang with me. This union, what did it do for us? What did it do for this little old bride when she said, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine? May I say, and look here, and remember please, that she has just come through a trying experience. She has been unable to find God in her life. Have you ever felt that way, neighbor? Come on in the house. You ever felt forsaken, forlorn, deserted? Feel like nobody's around you and everybody's gone? Feel like God shut the door and you don't know where He's at? That's exactly what this little bride in Solomon had experienced. And I'm telling you, it is a marvelous thing that her feeling forsaken and deserted by God, going through such a trying time in her life. She probably hadn't read, maybe hadn't been reading her Bible right, and praying right, and worshiping right, didn't know where God was at, didn't know where to find it, but she knew down in her heart that she had been to Calvary and been redeemed by the grace of God. I want to say to you, my friend, if you know that you know that you're a child of God, there may come troublesome times in your life, but just hang on to the promises of God, for the sun will shine again in yonder in glory land. And just as sure as God led you into the valley, God will bring you out of the valley on the other side. And He'll be standing right there waiting on you. Amen. Now, what do these words of confidence, what do they provide for this young lady? What do we see in them? She said, I'm my beloved. My beloved is mine. May I say that this union that you and I have with Him provides us of an assurance of our faith. Her faith had not wavered. It was yet strong. She had the assurance of it. I am my beloved. My beloved is mine. I don't know yet where He's been. And I haven't found Him in the garden yet, but I know He's there. How do you know He's there? By faith. Amen. For the just shall live by faith. Amen. Son, when you can't see Him and can't feel Him, it's good to know that we can still find Him by faith. I wonder if you've got that kind of faith tonight. That in your dark hour, you can still say, By faith, my beloved is mine, and I am my beloved. Do you have that kind of assurance? You see, hey, when we're disquieted in our spirit, faith is still a great refuge for us. Oh, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me, David said? Why art thou so cast down? Oh, hey, hope thou in God, he said. There's your faith in the dark hour when you can't find it. Hope thou in God in that dark hour. I'm glad when we're disquieted, brother, that our faith is a refuge and a shelter that we can run to and find shelter from for God during the time of storm within our life. Listen what the psalmist said in Psalm 107. Several verses here. Said, these said that these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth, listen what He's saying now. I'm in Psalm 107. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. You hear what David said? He said, God commands and raises the stormy wind. So there is no storm, no trial, no problem, no temptation, no heartache, no calamity, no problem, no trouble that ever comes into our life that it is not there by the sovereign hand and the sovereign will of Almighty God that loved us and died on Calvary for us. When will we ever learn that lesson? If it's cold and dead and dried out and for deadness, it is that way because God in His sovereign will has chosen to be that way that He might teach you and I something. And it might be to live by faith. I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Huh? God, He said, I don't know for sure what verse I'm in. It's on down in there. If you're looking for it, Brother Billy, I'll find a verse for you. Hallelujah. I didn't write the verse down. I just put Psalm 107, but I will find it. I'm glad to hear them pages rustling. Somebody at least is trying to find it in the Bible. Huh? See, look at verse 24 and down. Verse 25. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. When the waves are over our head, the Bible said, they're still under His feet, what the song said, I mean, not the Bible. But there was under His feet. Because while they were out on the sea and the waves, the wind had raised the waves, and Jesus came walking on the water, hallelujah to God. Oh, I'm glad, my friend, that during the dark hour, that I've got a chance of that He is inseparable to me because of the faith that God has bestowed in my heart. Now don't leave me, we ain't done reading there yet. He said also, they mount up to the heavens, and they go down again to the depths. If I understand that right, He said the storms God puts in your life, said He raises them up high, He'll raise you up high, and then He'll drop you all the way down to the very bottom. So, oh yes sir, and that's the way storms and troubles will do us now. That's what this little girl had been through. She had been on an emotional roller coaster, up one day and down another, up one day and down another. But the waves were there because of the wind, my friend, that the storm had provided. And the storm was there because God commanded it to be so. Amen. Give Him the praise for it. God, when will we wake up? I can't believe I've actually broke a sweat. Amen. Their soul, it goes on to say, is melted because of trouble. Melted. That's the way she was. Melted. Where is your beloved? What is your beloved? Where is your beloved? I can see her little soul melting because she couldn't find Him. All the trouble she had looked here and there. She'd gotten out of her bed of complacency and tried to move out into the city to find her Lord. And yet she had not found her Lord. And the Bible said that her soul, my friend, melted because of the trouble. Said they reeled to and fro. You ever been in that wind? I mean, just like a drunken man. You ever been in that storm in your life? Huh? Some of you ain't. I can tell by looking at you. And that wind's a-blowing and you reeling and rocking around to and fro and you stagger, he said here in the text, just like a drunken man. And you're even at your wit's end. You ever get that? I've heard my mama say before, you bunch of brats, you about to drive me to my wit's end. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. Some of you is there right now. You don't know how to handle what's going on in your life, and you don't know where to turn to. I'm telling you, you got to go by faith and believe God, and that God has allowed it to come into your life for your good and His glory. Give Him the glory. Now Paul say, give Him the glory. Give Him the glory, hallelujah to God, for what Jesus has done in your life. He's trying to make a Christian out of you, and a real Christian at that. Give Him the glory for it. Reeling and rocking like a drunken man. Come to their wit's end. Then what do? They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He bringeth them out of all their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, that the waves thereof are still. And then He makes that statement, oh, would to God that men would praise the Lord for His goodness among the children of men. And He repeats that 4 or 5 times in that chapter. Oh, I would to God that men would praise the Lord for His goodness to them. I'm telling you, I believe that's what God wants tonight. It's for some of you that God has been good to get up off of your rocks and learn to praise Him, friend, for what God has done in your life. God help us. Huh? How long has it been since some of you shouted? How long has it been since you praised Him a little bit? Some of you ain't never praised Him. I don't think you know how. Come on in the house, children. I'm going to tell you, if you've got your family sitting on a church pew,
that's right. Amen.
He's trying to increase your faith. He helped her. Her faith got into exercise and she went out looking for Him. Have you looked for Him? Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and praise Him, bless your heart, for what He's going to do.
Amen.
There may come a time in your life when you have to praise your way out of a hole.
Yes. Right.
Somebody said, did these folks, then they cried unto the Lord. And they didn't sit there and go,
Lord.
You know what that baby done over this morning when he wants some milk? What these youngins do when they want mommy? Mama!
Amen.
What do you want? My fingers cut, mama!
Right. Amen.
I can just see them in the light talking. It bit me! Boo, 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 boo!
Amen.
The last time you cried in your trouble to God.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, I'm not a little bitty baby. Why did He call you one? Desire the sincere as babes. Desire the sincere. Oh, yeah, we're just little babies in His sight. Little striplings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That ought to make some of you mad. I want to say, secondly, that faith sustains us in duties for Christ. Even in hard times. You know what I was thinking about when I pinned this down today? Brother Shelby, I'll go back there and talk to Shelby a little while. Sustains us. We think we've got it rough. What about old Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail in stocks at midnight in a dungeon where there's no light? And I'm going to tell you what faith done for them. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound What is that sound I hear in there? Well, I can hear old Silas now. Oh, God, there's a jailer out there that's lost and going to hell. And while Paul's singing about amazing grace, may the grace of God find itself along in that old boy's heart. I'm telling you, it was only by faith in God that they was able to sing and pray at midnight and see sinners converted by God. That faith sustained them, friend. I won't say thirdly, and I'm trying to hurry now. Faith will preserve us from fainting in times of discouragement. It's a refuge. Somebody said, I'm not discouraged. You're a lying devil, is what you are. You every one of you in here, you're a lying, get you gaunch in, your mammy don't want you, a bunch of lying devils. Some of you so low you can't tie your shoelace without a stepladder. Huh? I'm going to tell you what faith will do. What did it do to her? I've looked for you, Lord, but I can't find you. But I know that my beloved is mine, and I am my beloved. And I know it by faith. Huh? You get a hold of that? Somebody sitting there, preacher, what do you do when you can't find him? There is an unseen hand that leads. Woo! Thank God! There is an unseen hand. Do you get a hold of that? Unseen hand. We don't see it, but by faith we just keep on walking, hallelujah to God, and we're not walking blindly. We're walking by faith meeting God. Bless His wonderful name. I'm about ready to run my head through a wall now and get out in the parking lot. I want to say fourthly, by faith, and here's the grandest thing that proves out in our text. By faith, we draw nigh to God. Listen to what the text, the Scripture says, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near. Let us what? Let us draw near with a true heart. In what, Brother Paul? A full assurance of faith? Draw near with a full assurance of faith? Do you I believe that's what she was doing. I don't know where he's at, but I know he's in the church. And by the help of God and by faith, I will draw nigh to him with a full assurance of faith that I'll find him right in the house of God where he said that he's going to be for me.
Amen.
You get a hold of that. Draw near with a full assurance of faith. Having your conscience sprinkled. And your body's washed with pure water.
Amen.
Saved and sanctified by the Word of God.
Amen.
And drawing near. Your conscience sprinkled with the blood. That's salvation. And your body's washed in pure water. A trip by the labor. A trip by the labor, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
And now here is a real blessing. She's trying to draw. Would you, anybody in here disagree with that, that she was not trying to draw near, she was looking for him? She was drawing nigh to God, right? Would you agree with that, Benjamin boy? Now here's the whole blessing with that. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Whoop! Whoop! I believe what you're saying there is, if you just try to draw nigh faith, draw nigh to God, He'll find you. He'll find you. Yes, right. You'll find Him. God will find you. Oh, yes. Draw nigh to God. God will draw. And you're going to have to do it by faith. And not by sight. Not by feeling. I just don't feel like. I prayed and I just couldn't feel God. Well, I prayed overnight and couldn't feel Him. I prayed this morning and couldn't feel Him. I prayed a lot of time and ain't felt Him. Do you know what to do? Let's keep on praying.
Amen.
Keep on reading the Bible. Keep on trusting God. Somebody said, how can you do that? Because by faith, I know that I'm bound to Him by the new birth. He's my heavenly Father, my friend. And whatsoever is happening in my life is for my good and the glory of God.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
If I had some help tonight.
Amen.
Huh? The bride was making efforts to draw nigh to God. You draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Number two, what those words, I mean that anchor, that union, is not only an assurance of our faith, but that union provides an anchor for our soul. Don't leave me now. What would you have done had you have been this little bride? Drifting, maybe? Drifting from God? As far as I know, the only thing that will hold us and keep us from drifting is an anchor. Now, I'm going to shock you on some of these anchors. She never drifted. She never wavered, buddy. She never stumbled one time with the ball. Couldn't find him. But she never drifted. There was an anchor there. And I'm going to tell you, I wrote this down. I put it down. I said, when you can't sail, cast out an anchor and look for light. When you can't sail, cast an anchor out like Paul did in Acts 27 and wait for day. Look for some light in your life. Did everybody get a hold of that? That is one of the most profound statements I've made in a long time. You know the story in Acts 27, Paul on the way to Rome and the rock lay down, a great storm comes upon him. And what it says there in verse number 29 of chapter 27 of the book of Acts, it said, then fearing that lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast out how many anchors? Man, they didn't want to go. No, they wanted to hang tough. They cast out four anchors. Four anchors. And wished for day. I say that those words, my beloved is mine and I am my beloved's, they're an anchor. That union, my friend, she could say that. Because she had an anchor in her soul. She was anchored to God Almighty. And there was no drifting. Son, I'm telling you, I see so many Baptists today that are just like Reuben. They're as weak as water. They just drift from pillar to post. They, some of these independent Baptists in Madisonville that belong to every church in the country. And they found happiness in none of them. Just drift from pillar to post. I saw some little old boy walk in down there at the restaurant today. I'm telling you, I've never seen so many sodomites, faggots, queers, lesbians, and homos in my life. It's what I saw in the Ponderosa today. Hey, some woman must have weighed 600 pounds. Come walking up to that food court with a little old sleeveless black blouse with a little strap down across it. And was hanging down and wasn't wearing nothing under it. I saw some man, he had a big old gray ponytail. I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm on it. Had an old gray ponytail hanging down. And when he went out, I was sitting where I could watch it, see the door. And when he went out, I said, look at him, honey, he's got a pocketbook. I never seen such a crowd. There was some little old boy come walking in. I said, look at that. And he went walking, he had on it is a 89 degrees outside, and that idiot is wearing a flannel coat. Amen. And one of them old black hats pulled down over his head. I told Miss Hall, I said, I'm going to mark the buckets he dips out of, buddy. I never seen such a crowd, buddy, in all of my life. Huh? I'm telling you, you better have an anchor today. You ain't right there. This world, son, we'll be drifting too far from the shore. Drifting, that old song, drifting too far from the shore. Son, we better anchor ourselves close to the shoreline. Listen to this. What is some of them anchors? Paul said there's four of them. And you may disagree with me on this, but I believe there's an anchor in suffering. If you've ever suffered for Him, you're not apt to depart or drift from Him. Somebody said, had the bride suffered, she had been grossly mistreated by the watchman of the city. She had been persecuted and suffered at the hands of the watchman. Now I'm telling you, folks, today know very little about suffering and the blessing of it. We don't want it. We draw back from it. Sicknesses, infirmities, afflictions. We don't want to, and I'm telling you, I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself. I ain't feeling sorry for myself no more if I can possibly help it. If I get sick as a dog and puke my guts wrong side out. Some little old boy come in down there today, me and Miss Hall sitting there, and I'm not mocking him now, I'm just telling you. He had some kind of deformity in his body. I'd say it was some kind of a neurological. It was a pitiful. I told Miss Hall, I said, I'll never complain in my life again. But I'm going to tell you, if God so chose to allow one of us, my friend, to endure such a flight of afflictions, even as that young boy had, it would be a great honor and a great blessing and would be such an anchor to our soul that if he'd allowed just to suffer a little bit for him. It's like the man said on Tuesday night, that we may know him, and that's good. But we don't want the fellowship of his suffering. It's under his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while. What's he going to do after you suffer? He is going after we have suffered. He is going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that word settle is like an anchor, my friend. He said, I'll anchor you, I'll settle you, but first there is some suffering you're going to have to go through.
Amen.
What an anchor. Throw out that anchor of suffering. Anybody in here feel like you're suffering a little bit? God give it to you. You won't run from Him. I'm going to tell you, if He ever lets you identify with Him in the sufferings of the cross, it'll bring such joy to your heart. Buddy, it'll be like an anchor, even if you'll say, what? He does all things well. If He wants to turn His back on me for a little while, He's done all things well. I've still got the anchor. I've got an inseparable union. I'm bound to Him by the Holy Ghost. I'm still going to heaven. And what He's doing for my glory, for my good and His glory. I'm still going to heaven. Hey, what about that anchor of hope? And I've preached this so much, I'm not going to say much about it, but Hebrews 6:16, Paul said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, and hope. Have we really got hope tonight as an anchor? Cast it out! Cast out that anchor of suffering. Cast out that anchor of hope, my friend. It'll keep you from drifting in the dark hour that our churches are going through. I'm trying to help the church. I told Miss Hall today, I said, if I want to help our people and I feel like I wanted to kick that can. I said, I want to feel like an absolute failure that I've not helped them in the Word of God, that I want to preach to you and strengthen you and settle you, that you have an anchor in your soul, that the winds and the storms, my friend, will not cause you to doubt and to drift away from God in your life. But standing fast, established, strengthened, and settled in God.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That anchor of hope. And I like this one. That anchor of the Word of God. Woo! Brother David said in Psalm 119, or the psalmist said in 119, verse 31, get this, I have stuck under thy testimonies. David said that your word's like Elmer's, buddy. I'm stuck to it. You ain't apt to drift too far if you anchored to that book right there. That's a wonderful old book. Now, I'll tell you, I look for something blessed in it every day. Every day. Every day. I'll say this honestly. I consider it more necessary than my daily diet of food. I've got to have the Bible. I can say I've stuck on that book. I've been faithful to that book. I've been honest with that book. And God has used it, my friend, as an anchor to my soul. I'm going to be honest with you. If I wasn't anchored a little bit tonight, I'd have done bid this church farewell. Now, I'm not talking about 10 years ago either. I've labored for 4 years to try to bring this church out of the drought that it's in. And ain't got the job done yet. And if I wasn't anchored in that book,
yes,
then I'd done played the Hank Snow on you.
Right.
I'd have been moving on.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But I'm about as stubborn as a mule and bullheaded too. And I'm stuck on this book. And I know whom I believed, and I know who's called me, and I know what my mission is, and I'm not about. I could sing that. I'm not about to quit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to God. How about you? You ain't going to quit on God, are you?
Amen.
Hang it out with me. Let's run this race together. Let's stick her out together and run the race together. And I guarantee you we'll win the prize and cross the finish line one of these days. I'm going to say, fourthly, I get this now, the anchor of our ultimate victory.
Amen.
Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Look here, and just prior to that, Paul had talked about their victory over sin, their victory over death, and their victory over corruption. You are looking at a man, my friend, that is someday going to be without corruption. This body is going to put on incorruption. I'll never forget up Elliott Smith years ago. I was getting ready to preach, and he was trying to pump up the church. Oh, and it started getting on. He got up there in a big way, and he said, "This corruption must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immorality." I said, "No, Philly, we're not putting on immorality. That's immortality, Elliot." But look here, we've got, hey, our victory is sure.
Amen.
We've got victory. If that's not an anchor to know that we're going to win, look here. What ball team? Don't you think that the Wildcats, if they knew, if they absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that every time they took the court, victory was theirs.
Right.
Son, I'm telling you, it'd make them a force. Now, I hate to even use the stinking rebels. But I'm going to tell you, with the ultimate victory, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And son, the fact that we are going to win this game that we're in ought to motivate us as an anchor to prevent us from drifting too far from the shore in times of storm. Now I've got to hurry. Number three, my beloved is mine and I am my beloved's. I believe also I see there an allegiance to His love. We do that, don't we?
Amen.
Where's them three kids that done them salutes? Huh? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right.
We've got an allegiance to that. Unless you're a flag-burning little renegade.
Amen.
Come in here and try to burn this flag, buddy, and see what I do to you.
Amen.
That's right. There ain't going to be no flag burning it around here, not if I've got my gun.
Amen.
Not unless they burn me first.
Amen.
Son, I fought for that flag and would die for that flag. And if you don't like that flag, get your little rub on the right, you bless your heart, or China somewhere and live there.
Amen.
Get out of my face.
Yes, sir.
I ain't got time for you.
Amen.
I pledge my allegiance to that flag.
Yes. Amen.
But I pledge my allegiance to the Christian flag.
Right.
And to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands.
Amen.
One Savior.
Yeah.
Crucified.
Yeah, like
his brother. Is it risen? Coming again with life and liberty to all that believe. Son, I'm telling you, she couldn't find him. She couldn't find him, but she said, "I pledge allegiance to your love, for my beloved is mine." Oh, his love is mine and my love is his. And I pledge allegiance to that holy love of his. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. Somebody help me with it. I went blank. I make it a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. And I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let me ask you something. Do you really pledge allegiance to Him? I thought about doing this tonight. I thought about making, if I could have got to Doug earlier, I was going to make him stand up and sing that song, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Woo-wee! Son, if we just pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's where our loyalty, our dedication. God help us. Let's get stirred up and get loyal and dedicated to the Lamb of God that loved us and died for us.
Amen.
Love His Word. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love Thy Word. It is my meditation all the day. Said in Psalm 122, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not only love his Word, but love His church. I wonder if we really love His church or do we just drag into it at church time. Are we really glad? I can tell you right now, it's the time that some of y'all made it tonight. You ain't glad when they say, come to the house of God.
Amen.
You're not here out of gladness. You're here out of duty.
Amen.
I won't charge you a thing for that.
Amen.
David couldn't wait to get to church. Come about 5:30 night, I told Miss Hall, I said, up and at 'em, babe, church time. She said, if I got time to go in here and run off this piece of paper, I said, if you make it Mo Ricky Tick, we're going to church.
Amen.
That's right, buddy. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about the Hall House. We're going to the house of God and we're going to get there on time.
Amen.
Boy, it's got quiet now. Preacher, I got here 2 minutes till six. You're late! By the way, whose vase is this? I hope that ain't somebody's remains cremated in there. What about this? We know that we pass from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Love the Word. Love the church. Love the brotherhood. Pledge allegiance to it. Salute it.
Amen.
John 21:15. Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then I'm going to close with this. And get this. It's not... thou art... Nope, wrong verse. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I believe I see there an apprehending, that anchor as an apprehending of His person. Paul said, I've not yet apprehended, but I'm going to tell you, the bride here had apprehended Him. She had got Him. Now somebody said, how do you get that? Listen carefully. I am my beloved's. Are y'all in the house now?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I am my beloved. I belong to my beloved, she said. Why? Because He found me.
Amen.
Get it now? And my beloved is mine. He belongs to her. How can that be? Because she found Him. She found Him. She said, He found me and saved me. But I found Him now. And He's mine, I'm His, and He's mine. Hallelujah to God. He found me and I found Him. What a wonderful thought. Can you say that tonight? My beloved is mine. And I am my beloved. He found me. He found me yonder in the fields of sin, polluted in my own blood, like a worm in a dunghill. He came to where I was as a little old barefoot country boy. Wasn't looking for God, but God come a looking for me. And I was so vile and wretched, I could not understand how a holy God could love me, but He loved me beyond measure and saved me and lifted me out of that life. And we're bound together. We're inseparable. Now I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. And they twain shall be one flesh. There's an inseparable union. But our spiritual union with Christ is far more binding.
Amen.
We're bound to Him. Inseparable union. I am my beloved. My beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. I tell you, where was that lily in the second chapter? He told her, the bride said, "You're a lily." Where was she at? Said, "You're a lily among thorns." He said, "I'm down here feeding in the thorns. God help us. I'm glad He's mine tonight and I'm His. And one of these days, we're going to take a flight. There won't be no airplane involved in it. Hallelujah to God. We're leaving out." Somebody said, "How do you know that?" "Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies. It shall also quicken your mortal body." Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. I've enjoyed preaching to you. Anybody in here tonight feel like you're drifting? Feel like you're drifting? There's an anchor. Feel like you can't find him? Got faith. Have you pledged allegiance to His love? Have you surrendered it all to Him? Raised a white flag, said, "Lord, here am I." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching again. I pray that you'll bless your people with Thy Word that was proclaimed, Lord, in their hearing. God, that you'll help this preacher, this church, stand fast in the liberty that's made us free. Help us, I pray, O God, to lay hold upon Thee. Thou hast found us as sinners and saved us. May we find Thee now as our all in all. And pledge allegiance to you. Stand fast in the Lord. Never drift, never waver, never wobble on the axle. Just keep on serving God. Save somebody tonight, Lord. Someone here listening by the radio, I pray. May Thy Word be quick and powerful. Bring sinners to a knowledge of Christ. We'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that page number I surrender on? 310. I surrender all. Let's sing right out on that first verse. Let us surrender all to Him tonight. If you haven't done so, may you do that tonight.